The Running Won't Save You podcast season 3 is proudly sponsored by our friends, the Pick and Mix Ninjas at X Miles. How exactly is it possible to get 150 grams of carbs into your body without having a trail accident, I hear you ask? Well, I can't help you there, but what I can help you with is calculating what has 150 grams of carbs in it using the X Miles nutrition calculator, which is free on their website. You just go on there and add all the things that you feel like eating into the basket, and it'll tell you exactly how many carbs, how many proteins, how many sugars, how many calories, how many this, how many that in the nutrition calculator. It is honestly super, super handy and stops you having to read those tiny, tiny little bits of writing on the back of things. So, this season, our wonderful friends at X Miles, I keep referring to them as our wonderful friends, I don't even know if they like me, are giving us a 12-month subscription to X Plus, which is their membership platform, where customers can receive better pricing on single serves, free priority shipping, express order fulfillment, and 5% store credit whenever they go shopping, plus access to exclusive sales. They're giving us a 12-month subscription plus a nutrition bundle, which is a mystery bundle, like a tin of mystery meat in Lidl. This is a mystery bundle of nutrition. If you want to enter the competition, you can go to our Instagram page, which is Running Won't Save You Pod on Instagram. Click and enter the competition. This competition is running till the end of June. Or if you just want to go on there and order some Vela Forte, Tailwinds, Squirrel's Nut Butter, Active Root, High Five, Low Five, Medium Five, whatever five it is that you want to order, whatever food it is you want to order, whatever nutrition it is you're looking for, then head to the website, put it all into the nutrition calculator, put it all in your basket, and enter the code RWSY1010 at the checkout for 10% off. Thanks, guys. We love you. You're amazing. Honestly, I've probably used X Miles more than any other website in the last sort of 10 weeks prepping for the spine. It's great. It's quick. It's easy. And it is cheap. On with the podcast. Welcome to the Running Won't Save You podcast, season 3, episode 2. With me, Ali Bailey, and the podcast's most illustrious, probably popular host,
Kirsty Reid. I was going to say Holly Stables.
Kirsty Reid. I tried yesterday to think of some fun introductions for you, but they were really bad.
Oh, okay.
They're based around the word Reid. So I'm going to spend the next 3 weeks working on them.
And at least it wasn't good ones. Kirsty. I used to get, "Are you thirsty, Kirsty?"
Face.
That sort of stuff. That was like people's friends' dads when I was a kid.
Wow.
Yeah.
Inappropriate. Boomers.
I don't think it was inappropriate. But
it feels like it was inappropriate. I don't know why that is.
Okay.
Anyway, how are you, you jet-setting bastard?
Yeah, I'm all right. It feels like a long hiatus, the podcast hiatus. But I suppose I've done quite a lot in the meantime. Done some Great Lakeland 3-day, which is a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant event. Absolutely love it. Put it in your diaries. We went to Italy, didn't we? We had a little holiday.
We went to
big group of us.
Yeah, Italiano.
Had a holiday. Italia. Robbie and Natalie's running emporium.
Mm-hmm.
Did lots of nice running out there. And and then I'm just back from the same place, actually, where I did a race at the weekend.
So, Italy. So, Robbie's school for kids that can't run good, as I affectionately call it, his endurance centre.
But when you leave, you can run good.
You can run so good.
Yeah, yeah.
Honestly, I've never been handed my arse as much or humbled as much as going and actually doing some running in Italy. Like, I've been to Italy. I've came to Cormier to watch the tour and stuff. And I was like, yeah, this is interesting. But honestly, those runs that we did, just those nice casual runs, I've never had to run. It's not even running. Well, you are running, aren't you? You're jogging as sort of much as you can. But the ups were going up for like 5 fucking miles without even going down a little bit. They just kept going up. I kept thinking we were going to get altitude sickness. That's how dramatic it got. But it's just...
Well, we could. I mean, we could have.
It's mad out there, isn't it?
We were at like 2,200 metres. You can start feeling the altitude at about 1,800, I think.
It's absolutely mental, isn't it? It was. I was amazed. They don't even. The thing is, when you're standing there looking at them from the town, you're like, "Oh, right. It looks a bit like the Lake District. It looks a bit like the Lake District. It looks a bit like it." But the thing is, these are small and those are far away, and they are high. Aren't they? Very fucking high.
Yeah, I
And
mean, they're
I just.
literally twice as high. I mean, to put it in perspective, we went and did a run from a place called Europa, and we started from this car park. We went up, we were in the snow, weren't
Oh
we?
my God, I forgot about Snow Day. God, Snow Day was so good.
We were up in the snow, we were really high. We had an amazing run, like incredible views. We're just kind of onto the tour course there. And when we came down to the car park and sat in at lunch, we were as high as Ben Nevis. The car park. So we started at like 1,200 meters at the car park, and then
That
we
was
climbed up.
funny. Yeah, because we were basically climbing up it, running up it. It was fine. Everything was fine. It was, in fact, you know what? It was a lot like being in Scotland. It was a lot like Glencoe, and it was like rocky little tracks. Then running up, and then there was those refuges, and then there was the I was gonna say dilapidated. You know what I mean? There was the ski lift that's just been looks like it's just been left there, but actually still works. It's got like fucking cages hanging off it that people get in. It's fucked up. And then we went up that hill, and then suddenly we turned around, and we were in Narnia. It was nuts, and we had Nats with us. She's very, very experienced. She knew what she was doing. But none of us had a proper winter hill kit, I don't think. Like it was like deep snow. It was funny and
It was.
amazing. And I would not, but I would not have done it without Nats. No
We
fucking
were
way.
sliding around. You were kind of up to your knees. And at one point, I saw some tracks in the snow. And I said to Nats, "What do you think that was?" And she goes, "Probably a wild boar." And I was like, "Oh, fuck."
It was amazing. And then we got to the top, and there was that refuge, and only the lid was poking out, only the roof. And I said to
You
Nats, "How do
couldn't
you get
see where
in there? Where's the door?"
the
She was like, "It's around that side." I'm like,
door
"Oh, what, the side where you're going to only just
was.
see the apex of the roof poking out?
We should have checked
Perfect."
that. There could
Yeah,
be
we should have gone in
people
it. I think we were all just being very like, "Oh my God, this is amazing," because it was amazing. But yeah, that I think that really, at first of all, it was brilliant training because there will never be a climb like that in the UK. There isn't a climb like that in the UK. There
No.
just isn't one, is there? I think Sarah said that even in the lakes, you can only keep going uphill for 2 miles and then it will drop off. But I've never, it's 5 fucking miles. And it wasn't just once, it was every time we went out. Every time we went out, you knew that the first 4 or 5 miles were going to be uphill. And it wasn't just uphill a bit, it was uphill like zone three heart rate, like zone four heart rate, fucking pushing it to get up to the top of these bloody hills. But it was such good training. I loved it. And it was really good fun. And we had a lovely time and very many lols. Shout out especially to Mel Sykes and her Italiano sexy chows, and also Sarah and Laura and their attempts at speaking, or Laura's attempts at speaking Italian. But Laura's face when she found out they had oat milk at the local cafe was quite a thing. It was like she'd just been told that she'd cure cancer.
Was good seeing Laura's like kind of confidence kind of grew through the week, didn't it? With I think with running and with the speaking and everything. And then Helen, our mate Helen, well, she's
Fucking
kind of
Helen.
Sam and Hannah's mate Helen, who
Helen Goggins.
we've brought into our she's the most incredible human being. And like to see her, she's done like amazingly hard runs and stuff in the past, she's a phenomenal runner, but just incredibly humble. And for her to be kind of doing long stuff again after being ill and stuff is was amazing. I just loved it, absolutely loved it.
Yeah, she basically. I'm not going to say she shamed us all because I was there on holiday. Like, we were there on holiday. I was there to have a fucking holiday and I was not there to beast myself over billions of feet of dirt. I was there to do 67 miles a day, sit by a glacial river, eat loads of crisps,
Have a little swim.
whose flavours I don't understand, and drink 20 coffees, but only before 12 o'clock. Because if you ask for coffee after 12 o'clock, you do get like taken out of the country and you're not allowed back in again. But that's what I was there to do. But she was going out and doing like as much as she possibly could with Lucy, and it was fucking amazing, wasn't it? She was like taking Lucy out and basically life risking Via Ferrata style adventures, which I thought was quite fun.
And then Lucy, not an easy person to impress, I imagine, was coming back saying, "God, Helen is just amazing. I think she's incredible what she's achieving and stuff." So yeah, no, all amazing stuff, amazing stuff. It was brilliant.
Great, mate. And then you went to Italy again last week. You planet ruining
Basically,
bastard.
I know. I'm sorry. I really am sorry about
Yeah.
that. Basically, our holiday was just a really elaborate way of getting sort of pretend friends to go on a recce with for the race I was actually doing day before yesterday, Sunday.
Where was the race?
So the race, well, it started in Xenia, which we ran through, I
Oh
think, on the
yeah.
first day,
Oh, it's
just on the
so
road. So it's like
nice.
10 minutes up the road.
That's where Mel met the love of her life, isn't it?
What sexy chow?
Yeah, sexy when she met the love of her life.
What
It's a long
can I
story,
just
everybody.
say?
Got impregnated and is now apparently with an Italian child.
Yeah, long story. You probably shouldn't tell it.
Really long story. We'll get Mel on to tell it.
I would say one of my high points of the holiday was I said to Mel, who's in the bunk beds in your room? Because it was like a single bed and a bunk bed. Who's on the top bunk? And she said, Helen's on the top bunk, but she doesn't mind because she sleeps on the top bunk at home. And I was like, what? Helen's like a 38-year-old woman. She can't sleep in a bunk bed. And Mel was like, no, she definitely does. She has the top bunk at home.
Did she, what did she mean she sleeps in the attic?
Well, it was either that she sleeps in the attic or that she did have a top bunk when she was a child.
That would explain it there, wouldn't it?
But anyway, so it started there. Basically, the route, we went up to that refugio that we went to with Hannah Rickman on the first day. Well, we went up towards it, and then we went by Hannah, and then she ran up to the
Oh, but
refugio,
you started
then up to
from
the
the
summit.
road. You start from the Zegna. Okay, sorry everybody, this is probably really boring to you, but if you get a map of Italy out and you look just sort of south of the Aosta Valley, you'll see what we're talking about. Google it.
I'll try not to keep it cliquey. But so we did a lot of what we'd done on that kind of first and second day. And then it came back in a loop, and we went back through Kodula, where we were staying, where Robbie and Nats live, past the swimming spot, over the bridge by the swimming spot.
Oh, did you? Oh,
So
I
it was
love the
really nice. I
swimming
was like,
spot.
oh, we had a nice time there. And then the loop went up on the other side, where we'd been. Do you remember that massive ridge? We went on a long ridge
Oh
that
my
was
God,
for
that
like
was so
seven,
nice.
eight
That was
Ks long, and
I think it was
it
my
was
favorite
incredible.
day. Yeah.
It was incredible. It was absolutely amazing. So it was a really amazing route. Really amazing route. But everything, it'd been very wet, so there was a lot of wet rock and a lot of mud and stuff, which we hadn't had, which I'll be honest, I didn't welcome it.
No, no one ever
But
does. When we were there, it was like a fucking butt Alpine chocolate advert, wasn't it? Like you could hear the
it was
ringing
a dream.
of cowbells, and it was all green, and there was little flowers everywhere, but it was dry as a bone.
But no, it was amazing. It was an absolutely amazing race, and really nice to do a race where there was like 120 people or something. So you walk up, you pay a very small amount of money, you register like without a queue, you turn up 10 minutes before the start. You
And no
still
mandatory
get,
kit.
oh yeah, of course, yeah, there was mandatory kit and stuff, but they trust you to be an adult.
Yeah.
You could get it checked at any point. And obviously, if you didn't take mandatory kit when you're at 2,000 meters high in the mountains, you're an absolute dickhead.
Yeah.
It started at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'll be honest, I didn't welcome that either.
No,
It was
fuck
me.
that. What time did you have to get off for breakfast?
I got up at 3:30, I
The
think.
little patisserie in Codulus not open till 7. This is a nightmare.
Drew Sheffield from Centurion was there as well. He was running it.
Mountain Drew, as we like to
And also Richard Stillian, also
call.
from Centurion, and a lot of people will know him through he volunteers, he runs a lot of the races, he volunteers loads. He's a real good egg of the sport.
Yeah,
So
he's
he
a
was
real
running it
good
as
bloke, isn't
well.
he? So, like a Centurion, it's almost like a Centurion have done like a swap, like an exchange, foreign exchange. Have Robbie and Drew and Richard, and we'll take, who can we take from your end? We take some of their good runners, put them in the South Downs way.
And Robbie did the 35K, which was, I did the 70K, Robbie did the 35K, which was the Italian Championships.
Absolutely pathetic, Robbie. Jesus Christ.
I mean,
35K. Did he win?
the guy who won was the world champion, right? To put
Wow.
into perspective the caliber of athletes in Robbie's race, he came 21st, okay?
Sorry, Robbie.
No, he broke the course record.
Fucking
The top 21
what?
athletes broke the previous course record. Like, if you want to go and be competitive, those are the racers. Like, to put it in perspective, and this is all relevant to our sort of success thing, isn't it? Robbie can go to any race, any weekend, and absolutely win it, But he chooses to go to the races which are the most competitive races, where you've got, the list of that who was in that race was like a who's who. It was
Did Robbie see? Was Robbie pleased?
He was pleased, yeah. He could see the result. He was like, I targeted this time, I know what I could do. He said to me before, like, if I'm in the top 20, I'm going to be happy because these guys are, They're going for the world championship spots for Italy. So this was the best of the best in a country which is the best at mountain running. So I take my hat off to him to go and do that. I think
Me too,
that's
because I
his
think,
definition of success.
yeah, but also that is leaving to a point, or is it leaving ego firmly at the door? Because if you've gone, that's what I want to achieve, then that's what, and you've achieved it, that's amazing. But I think that's fucking incredible that, like, that the course record could be broken by that many people.
Yeah, it was broken like 20 minutes by the winner, and that is, it is a good level of racing already. As I guess we'll talk about, like I was at the back, like I was at the back in our race. There was like 100 and I think like 110 or something starters, 70 something finishers, and I was fifth from the back.
So,
And
meet a banana, sorry.
yeah,
So,
it's okay.
what, when you went into it, what did, like, first off, I'm gonna ask, what did you say? You don't overlap. What did you expect? But also, what were your, what was the result you wanted to create? So, what was your, like, this is how it will be a success?
So for me, what would be a success is finishing feeling I'd given everything I could give. So feeling like I'd tried, feeling like I hadn't sat down at aid stations and looked at my phone, or feeling that I hadn't, not to diss anybody who does do that, but for me it's like being purposeful, keeping a decent pace going. Really trying my hardest up the hills, really trying to run the downhills that are technical and awful. And I know when I've tried hard, and that's my definition of success. Definitely wasn't around a finish position. I had sort of 15 hours in my head, and I ended up finishing just under 16 hours. So it wasn't, it wasn't. But then that was plucked out of nowhere, to be honest. So I think I hit all of my definitions of success, but it didn't feel like a success because I was worried about cut-offs, which isn't something previously that I've been particularly worried about. So it felt like, I suppose to me, it felt really hard. It's an ego battering to be close to the back, and it's like it's one of those races where everyone gets spread out, so you don't see anybody all day, so you don't know where you are. But I
So
just
did
asked
you
them.
not know? So you, how did you know?
So I knew that there was a cut-off at 8 hours, and I got there in 7 hours, so that was all right. Then there
But
was
still,
another.
that's a big, that's a good margin, isn't it? I
It's a
think.
decent margin. Then there was a cut-off at 5:30, and I got there at 10:04. So I thought that's okay. I'm gaining
Yeah, that's
on the
what I would
cut-offs.
think.
That's all right. And like just to put it in perspective, right? I was not hanging around. I was really working hard on the uphills. Like at no point was I. All right, I took a few photos, but it wasn't. I felt like I was really
Didn't get
kind of
the selfie stick
purposeful.
out and start
I
reporting live from the
didn't get a
fucking
selfie
refuge.
stick. And
Did you stop and drink out of a shoe at any point?
I didn't drink out of a shoe.
No.
And
Okay.
in fact, I had one of the weirdest like kit fails of my running journey so far.
Was it when you tried to drink out of a shoe?
No, I felt had 2 water bottles. It was humid as fuck, right? And we start off at 5 o'clock. We're running through the forest with a head torch, and I was absolutely dripping sweat. And I'm not a heavy sweater, and like I could see like my heart rate was really high, even just on the first bit on the flat. And I was like, fucking hell, I'm gonna have to. Sorry for my language.
This is quite, she's quite sweary today, isn't she?
Sorry. And I thought I'm going to have to really manage my effort today, otherwise I'm going to die. So I was drinking a lot. I had a lot of salt caps, and I was doing every other bottle with 1500 precision hydration. Like, don't this is specific to me, so don't anybody take that as a tip. Or I'm definitely not sponsored by them. Robbie is. So I was being really careful with it. Went to that Refugio. Baroni that we went
Oh
to,
yeah, refuse your baroni.
filled up my water bottle at the little fountain thing, and put the top on my water bottle, ran off, and all of a sudden my water just splashed in my face. Right, I looked down, I thought I hadn't put the lid on.
Ah, fuck.
The little teat thing has come off the
Yeah.
top of my water bottle, and it's just gone. I can't find it. I had the volunteers looking for it, couldn't find it anywhere. So I had to do the rest of the thing with one water bottle. So anyway, that didn't help me. It's not an excuse because that's. I think that's
That is so annoying.
accidental, but
Has
also
anybody got a hack?
idiocy.
Has anyone got a hack for that? Because that's happens. I watched that happen to somebody on, I think it was South Downs Way or North Downs Way, really early, like 23 miles in, and it's that little square, that little crisscross thing. It pops out.
Yeah.
Yeah, has anyone got a hack for that? Like, is there something you can take with you in case it happens? Because that is
Yeah.
a fucking nightmare.
Well, I was just going to put some tape over the top, and at least I could use it as a lid.
Yeah.
but anyway, why was I telling you that?
Don't know.
Oh yeah, just
Oh,
failure, success
kit fail,
failure.
kit fail, yeah, kit fail.
but oh yeah, anyway, so I was okay on the cutoffs, but then the race had variously been advertised as 70K, 75K. It used to be a 60K. It's very Italian. And so then I was realizing I was really kind of pushing it to get had to get to finish by 10 o'clock, and it was really, you know, when you sort of think I've only got 5K to go, and then that 5K is like through fucking twisty bits of wood where there's loads of wet tree roots,
That
and
5K is actually backwards.
yeah, and it was just so such slow going, and I was kept looking at my watch thinking shit shit shit, and yeah, and then I was thinking, I got to a point where I was thinking, if this is 75K, I'm probably not going to make the cutoff. But anyway, so I made the cutoff by an hour and a little bit. And yeah, so anyway, it like I'm okay with finishing when, you know, a lot of people didn't finish or got timed out. I'm okay with, well, I didn't really care about my time. I didn't care about the finishing position. But I'll just be honest, it felt really hard to be at the back. I've never been at the back before. You know, I think there were five people behind me. But I've never been that close to the back before, and hats off to everybody who does that, because it's hard mentally. It's really hard thinking about cutoffs and
I'm just going to let my dog in because she's barking, and somebody else is not letting her in because they don't understand that when a dog barks. Oh, hang on, they have just let her in. Fucking
okay.
hell. Okay, I'm really interested in this because we, as in the group of us, I mean, I do it all the time as well. Pickle's just been ratting everybody, and it's raining, and now she just walks in, she's soaked, so I'm just waiting for her to ruin the whole house. We are like, I am like, when it comes to success, or when it comes to like the result I want to create, I'm always like, or not always, it's different for every race, but for most races, I'm like, have a good time, manage myself properly, solve problems, be grateful, keep moving, don't fuck about, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then I say things like, I don't care where in the pack I am. Someone has to come last. I say this to athletes all the time. It doesn't matter where you are. As long as you're meeting you didn't say I want to be mid-pack the whole race. And you didn't say I want to be front of the pack the whole race. That's not even a thing. So when it comes to it, you should just be like, well, that wasn't on my list of things that would create a successful result for me, so I shouldn't worry about them. But this is really interesting because the experience of actually being at the back is something that, without sounding like an absolute prick, I haven't had for ages. The last time I probably had it was a Dragon's Back, and I was so worried about missing cutoffs, which I eventually did, that almost was secondary to the fact that I thought I was going to die, and that was an overall feeling of you're a piece of shit rather than you're at the back. So how was that difficult for you? Why is it mentally difficult? Why do you think it's mentally difficult? And what effect did it have on you? Because you're never at the back, right? When was the last time you were at the back?
When I did an ultra which had three people in,
You were all at the back.
yeah, no, and I mean, it was difficult for me. I'll be really honest. It was difficult for me because it felt like I'm doing the kind of thing I love, right? I love those racers. Like, you know, you get onto that ridge, you look up, and you just think, fuck me, I'm like the luckiest person in the world to be doing this. This is incredible. This is an experience I'm going to remember forever. I love doing those races. I know I'm not very good at those races. I'm an average ascender, I'm an average descender, and that and like translating into Italian terms, average in UK is extremely poor. So I know I'm not good at them. And I think for me, I think my overwhelming feeling, I'm going to get upset now, was like a sadness that maybe my days are numbered doing these races. And by these races, I mean these big, big race, big kind of competitive kind of races in the, you know, in Italy or in the Alps or whatever, that I've got so much joy from over the last 15 years or so, that I'm like, if I can't make the cutoff, I don't, you know, I don't, I'm not going to do it. And therefore, that's kind of something that's a huge part of my life, which might not be possible anymore.
So was it like, so here's a question. Do you think you were going, this is like, I was taking your race to pieces, but I'm just interested. Do you think
No,
you were going slower than you normally would, or do you think you were keeping up at the normal pace? Right. So
not at all.
basically, it was just a really fucking competitive race, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, with only 120 people in it.
Yeah, well, 70 something finishes.
Right. Okay. So, no,
But that's all excuse. That's all.
it's not
That's all
excuses. It's
perspective, isn't
not even
it?
perspective, it's fact. So if you actually get
Yeah, it's fact.
the facts out,
It's
it's highly
fact.
competitive. In Robbie's race, 21 people beat the course record, right? So it's high. So however this race has grown over the last, like, fucking, I don't know, how many years it's been running, it's obviously become more popular and have attracted more people of a higher level to come and do it. That's why the course record was broken by fucking 21 fucking people.
But that was for the World Champs
Yeah, but
qualification race.
still, it's the
Mine wasn't.
same set of races, right? So let's look at the South Downs Way races, because they're now World Trail Majors. You've got 50K, you've got all sorts of shit going on. You've got Claire Bamworth turning up, you've got Lucy Gossage turning up, you've got all these fucking amazing women turning up. It's become a different race and attracted way more people. So
Yeah.
whereas at the South Downs Way 100 4 years ago, I could have come top 10. There is no fucking way I would even shave the top 30 now, because there is a much higher caliber of athlete coming along to do that race, right?
Yeah.
So, looking at this, I'm not trying to coach you, I'm not interested in that, but from my perspective, I would go in on the fucking L. Like, that for me, I would hate that. I as much as I'm like, because I don't like coming at the back, I just don't like it. So I choose races where I don't think that will happen. I honestly choose races where I don't think that
Yeah,
will
yeah.
happen.
And that's fine.
Like she said, doing dragons back again. But I
That's
have full
your.
acceptance that for some races, I will be the last person. And I
Yeah.
honestly believe that I will be the 12 hours a day, 13 hours a day person at Dragon's Back. And I'm okay with that. I just want to fucking get the thing done.
And maybe it's different for different races. It's a different. I think we've both got, or like two people have got different definitions of success at different ages. Like it changes through your life, you know?
Yeah.
But also, I think it's okay for different races. So it's like I could do that race and think I'm gonna be pleased to finish that. There were a lot of times where I did think I'm gonna be pleased to finish this. And that is an achievement in itself, isn't it? To finish something that's hard. You know, so and like you look at something like the Tour, that's probably I would say that's one of what I would say is one of my biggest successes. Because it's the culmination of a lot of years and a lot of training and a lot of consistency and sticking at it, and then actually the icing on the cake is actually managing to do the thing that you've been trying to do, and it's something which also has a high risk of failure, you know, which makes it even sweeter. But also it's okay to say. I want to do this race and I want to win it. You know, I've got into races where I wanted to win. You know, so I've done like things like the Thunder Run or whatever, and I came second and I went back the next year and I was like, right, I'm going to do what I need to do to win this race.
What
And
did you do? Did you poison everybody? What did you do? This
no,
sounds really dark.
just trained really hard,
Razor
got a
blades on my
coach.
elbows.
But yeah, I think it's okay. I think it's okay. Yeah, and it's like if any of us, it to be fair, apart maybe not Sarah Perry, but if any of that group that we went to Italy with went to do a fell race, then we'd probably end up like, you know, not ending up very high up the field, even though a lot of those people are obviously phenomenal ultra runners, you know. So it's all different, isn't it? It's different definitions of success.
Yeah, did it make you, but have you had a chance to reflect on it, on like your feelings on it? Like, would you do a race like that again?
Yeah, I
Oh, right, here we go.
would.
Rose-tinted
Yeah.
glasses have fallen firmly onto your
Well,
face.
no, but that day's coming, but it's not yet. It's still not yet. I can still do it. I still did it an hour inside the cutoff, or whatever. I still did it okay. And like Robbie helped me understand, like afterwards, that is where I should be. That's where I should be in that race. It's a tough race. It's competitive. You know, I'm not. You know, maybe there's three things you need to be really good at that race, and I'm not good at them. So you know, I can still do it and I still love doing it, but yeah, probably would still do. Well, I mean, I'm going to do Tot Dret, aren't I, in
Woo! Tot
September.
Dret. Top Dress is the mini tour. It's a tiny tour. It's not, it's 100K, isn't it?
It's a bit of the tour, but it's got 10,000 meters of ascent. Is it 10,000 meters?
Fuck's sake.
Yeah, in 100K. But yeah,
God
so.
almighty, that's like the spine. The race I'm doing this weekend has only got 16,000 foot over 160 miles.
Different race,
Yeah,
different,
I know, but
completely
that I'm just
different
trying to get
kind of
into people's
race.
heads how fucked up Italy is. I mean, Italy is
Yeah.
beautiful and amazing, but when it comes to those mountains, honestly, I think people watch YouTube videos, they watch fucking binfluencers on their jollies walking along with their GoPros, and they don't you don't understand. And I think that people and like a lot of my athletes are like, everybody wants to do UTMB. I'm like, have you been there? And they're like, no, but it looks amazing. Have you been there? Like, it is fucking hardcore. Anyone that's interested in trail or ultra running or mountain running, please take a holiday in Italy. Go and take a holiday. Do refuge to refuge. It is brutal. That's the only word for it. It is brutal because it is unrelenting, and it's extremely fucking hard work. Like, it's, I think, do you think there's a harder mountains in the world? I don't know if there is. I don't know. I
Oh,
don't fucking know.
I'm
I've not
sure there
travelled
is.
the world looking for mountains, but
Yeah,
like,
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, but it is. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I love it. I mean, for
I
me,
love it too. It's
this is what it's all
beautiful.
about. It's like being out in the mountains, being like I can't honestly. I mean, I could put some pictures on Instagram once I can be bothered. But yeah, just looking at a ridge that's like 8 kilometers long is just like indescribable, you know, and you can see all these kind of layers and layers and layers of mountains in the background, can't you?
Yeah, and it's like the worst thing is you're like, gonna go do one, do that one, one, do that one. Well, that was basically what Lucy and Han and Helen were
That's
doing,
what
isn't
they
it? I'm
did.
just gonna go at that one. All right, bye then. I'm gonna go back and eat some crisps that are a flavour that I don't know about, sit by river. Yeah, like it. I would really encourage people before they start. Oh, fucking! I love the whole dream big thing and the whole. But when you actually handed it to you and you're like, oh, this is much different to how I thought it was. That's why I encourage people to go and do recce before they sign up for races, because you don't know if you're going to like it. I really like Italy. I think it's beautiful, and I really loved going with the girls, and I had a really great time, and it was wonderful, and I really enjoyed myself. But that isn't for me. Like, races like that are not for me because they're just too hard for me, and I won't enjoy myself. I'll just beat myself up the whole time. Please do record and save this for 5 years' time when I tell everyone I'm doing Tour de Géant. But I said to Sarah, would you do the tour? She said to me, I don't think I would because I like running too much. And I think that, you know, there is a lot of the hiking up those hills. It's, I said this before, it's like the mountain, you have an abusive relationship with the mountains. Like, they are fucking beating the living shit out of you. Then you get to the top and you look around, and then this is like an 8K ridge. And you're like, oh, I love it so much up here. You totally forget what's just happened to you. And you fucking crack on again. And then it's that, like, times a million. And if you don't want to go and look on my Strava for when I was in Italy and see those like 7 to 11 to 12 mile runs that we did, where I was doing fucking, at one point I was doing 17 minute miles, and I was pleased, I was thrilled with my
Oh yeah,
17
I'd have
minute
been over the
mile
moon with that
pace.
on Sunday,
Yeah, absolutely thrilled. Like, it is very, and we were, you know, like, we were there with, you know, we seem to have accidentally surrounded ourselves with world-class athletes, which isn't really that helpful for the ego anyway. But it is when you realize that these people are absolutely wonderful human beings, and you love them as, but like, as friends, and they're just fucking ridiculous humans. But yeah, I think all of us were sort of humbled by the situation out there, weren't we? Like, it was that everybody had different strengths, and like, watching Hannah bouncing around up there was amazing, watching Lucy up there was amazing. But yeah, fucking hell, Italy is it's grounding, isn't it, Italy? It
Yeah,
grounds you.
I think it's good to be humbled every once in a while. It's like we could all do that. We could, you know, whether that's going to park run and accepting the fact that a lot of people don't even have proper kit and run a lot faster than you, or go and do a fell race, or like our friend Laura did something out of her comfort zone, didn't she, at the weekend? She went and did Dartmoor Discovery, which is a 32-mile road, sort of undulating road race in on Dartmoor.
Sean videoed the start of it, and I just saw Laura's face. She just looked so fucked off. What have you done? But then by the end of it, she was having a lovely time. But yeah, fucking, that is horrible. Those races where you're like, oh, actually, I have to run this. So when I did the Beast of the Blacks, I was like, it's 20 miles. You've actually got to run it. You can't not. You've got to run up this hill. It's fucking horrible. But I think it's important that we do those things because keeps you honest, mate. Keeps you honest.
Yeah.
Keeps you honest.
So we should talk about success, really, shouldn't we?
Yeah, I think that your race was a success.
Yeah, I was disappointed afterwards. And then, and Robbie's very good. He's very grounding. He's very practical. Do you know what I mean?
What, Kirsty? Why don't you fucking just cheer up and get yourself some little tiny pastries from down the road? Look at the dog. Look at the dog. Like that.
And then I didn't sleep very well after it. So I think yesterday I was in a really, like, just really, giving myself a really hard time about it. But I kind of feel a bit better about it today. Do you know what I did when you said it was success? Do you know what, can you guess what I did to prepare?
Did some actual fucking research like a grown up. That's my guess.
Read some books.
Read some fucking books.
Read
Do
some
you know what
books,
I
did some
did?
research.
I googled this morning, I googled David Goggins success to try and find something funny to say. And then I wrote in capital letters in my book, do not mention the names of those fucking influencers. Even though I want to.
Yeah. The influencers who get paid now to actually not do it, not do the
We
running.
have entered ultra running Gilead, me and Kirsty have realised, right? We are the
We are
handmaids.
onto them.
We're the fucking handmaids, so we're wandering around doing the fucking races, being fucked by races, right? And nobody gives us an ounce of respect, and they're the fucking commanders, and they're now getting paid to do races that they just don't do, like they just don't turn up for them, or something happens, boo-hoo, and they can't fucking do it. And these are the sort of races where I would literally give a finger, a Gilead style finger, to go and do the race. Yet you are taking the place of somebody else, you fucking cunt. Anyway, so what we're going to do is we're going to move away from that.
Yeah, let's
My
move on
therapist
swiftly.
has got this box. She tells me to put things in a safe box. We can put the lid down and we can bolt it up. We can put it somewhere else.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to know one of the greatest things that I've found thinking about success is this book that I've talked to you about before,
It's
The Art.
blurred. It's
It's
blurred.
called, oh, I can never do this, The Inner
In the
Game
game
of
of
Tennis.
tennis.
Yeah. So it's a book about, it's a classic book about coaching.
The inner game of
Bear
tennis.
with me, right?
Yeah.
It's a book about coaching, and obviously it's about tennis, but the inner game thing is about it talks about the kind of external game where you're playing a competitor or whatever. The internal game is obviously that kind of battle, that internal battle in your brain that hinders performance and enjoyment.
Oh, performance approach,
So,
performance avoidance, that.
yeah. But and what he says, this guy Timothy Galloway, it, or Galway, Galloway, not sure. Anyway, I pulled out a few quotes from this. It's not about winning or losing the match. It's about making the maximum effort during every point because I realise that's where the true value lies.
Yeah.
And that I like that. I really like that a lot. And I've got another thing here, which is he calls it winning, but you can apply it to success. Winning is overcoming obstacles to reach a goal, but the value in winning is only as great as the value of the goal reached. So influencers, if their goal is like get a free trip, get a free pair of trainers, get a lot of likes or whatever, what's the value of that? What's the value of that versus the value of working towards doing the Spine Challenger North for like a year of your life and then being in it and trying the hardest you can and living your values and staying true to them and then achieving it? That's something, hopefully, that you will remember for the rest of your life. You know,
I think
this.
I am going to remember the weather for the rest of my life. But yes. Can you say that last one again? The value one.
Winning is overcoming obstacles to reach a goal, but the value in winning is only as great as the value of the goal reached.
So the value of the goal reached depends on personal preference, doesn't it? Or your personal, how much you put into that goal.
Yeah, your personal goal, yeah. So I think I've been thinking a lot about this subject and what it means to me and kind of how other people kind of define it and stuff. And I think it's consistency of effort in the long term, because I think for me it means a lot more when it's something I can plan for, train for, work towards, then do. And interestingly, at Great Lakeland 3 Day, great race, by the way. Oh, it's not a race. It's not a race. Robin Cassidy did a talk there, and she was talking about how she doesn't race loads because she and like Robin can correct me if I've got this wrong, but she loves something she can plan for, so she can say like, I'm going to do Dragon's Back. I'm going to go and wreck it. I'm going to plan everything out. I'm going to, work out my training. I'm going to, plan all the kit. Have all those fun days on the hill. We've said before, that's what it's all about. That is what it's all about, isn't it?
It's a really good Banksy quote about fame. So last week when I was talking to Holly, there's a lot of chat about what wealth, success being wealth, fame, all that sort of stuff, like being known in your field or that sort of stuff. And the Banksy quote is that fame is a byproduct of being really good at something. And he says you wouldn't go into a restaurant to take a shit, right? So success in the societal view, I believe, is a byproduct of doing something really, really well that holds value to other people. So if you look at races like, so the World Horse was the first 200 I ever did, and I won it, right? That doesn't matter. And honestly, that doesn't matter. The winning it was not something I set out to do. I was not interested in that. That was never in the thing. The success came from the fact that I had two massive meltdowns, and it was. And at one point, I called my crew and told them that we were done and I was going to pull out. And I walked down to the checkpoint to pull out. And they managed to turn it around, help me turn it around. And the second time was when I was really tired and I thought I was going to fucking be stabbed to death by a giant baby killing robot. But turns out it was just a wall. So I got the card, sweet. But that is the success. The success is, here's a problem. You're going to solve it. You're going to get your crew together. You're going to solve the problem. And then you're going to come back from the problem and you're going to carry on.
Yeah, 100% agree
And
with you.
that is, and then anything else is a byproduct. And I think that that book, what he's talking about in that book, there'll be a lot of that. Like, if you're content and acting in line with your values, and if you can block out the noise of what anyone else thinks or says, the byproduct, your outcome, you'll have a, in inverted commas, better outcome or an outcome, a more preferential outcome than if you fucking worry about everything the entire time. And you worry about cutoffs, you worry about times, you worry about like what other people are thinking, you worry about who's watching the dots, you're worried about all of that is just your energy is just sapped out of you. And it should, your energy should be in other places. And that's why I talk to people about what's the result you want to create, what are the things you want to tick off your list. And when the fun stops, stop. Because then you know, don't you? You know, and even if you DNF, or even if you decide to pull out the race, or even if you come in the last three people, you're like, I've met my agenda. I've gone through the agenda and I've ticked every box, apart from maybe two or one or three or whatever. So actually, I've had a fucking good day out.
Definitely. And I mean, just sort of touch on that again. He talks about in this book, he talks about surfers and how surfing isn't about winning or losing. It's about kind of, surfing that biggest wave and, all that sort of stuff. And something in here, the more challenging the obstacle you face, the greater the opportunity for the surfer to discover and extend their true potential. And that's true as well, isn't it? It's like, you set that big goal, you work towards that big goal, and you're extending what you're capable of and what your potential is, and expanding, that capacity, aren't you?
There's another quote from him that you said, I think it was in the last series, about in order for you to win, what was that quote?
I've
You
got
have
it.
to be.
If I assume I'm making myself more worthy of respect by winning, then I must believe, consciously or unconsciously, that by defeating someone, I'm making them less worthy of respect. I can't go up without pushing someone down.
That's a fucking, that's hard, isn't it? Because that goes, that I feel like that goes against my values. I feel like that makes me want to go, oh, you've crossed the line first. Oh no, you crossed the line first.
Oh yeah, I don't know. That's a difficult one, isn't it? It's a difficult one. But it's like that thing, like you were saying with Holly, like when someone passes you and you say, like, awesome, great running, rather than like we've all passed people and then they've kind of just like looked at us like we're a piece of shit and we've ruined their day or whatever.
Yeah, but that's mainly because you've given them two fingers and you're like, ah, fuck you. We were talking about this the other day. I accidentally went to the football. It wasn't a great experience, I'm going to be honest with you. It was supposed to be a nice football match with a nice football team, but it was a nice football team, but there was a not very nice football team there as well. the behaviour of the fans at that match, it was unbelievably aggressive. And I said to Kirsty, imagine if we did that in running. Imagine if when somebody like you passed someone, you were like, ah, fuck you, you're a fucking wanker, you're a wanker, you're a wanker, you're a wanker. Imagine if we didn't agree with what the fucking race director said at the briefing, we started shouting that RD's a wanker. Imagine if we started chanting at other runners really awful things about their wives. Why is that okay in football? Imagine if at an aid station when somebody came in, somebody started singing a song about your wife being a prostitute to put you off your game. Football fans, why is that okay? I was just wondering. But it would be funny if when you went past somebody, you basically gave them the finger and shouting, you're a wanker. You're shit and you know you are, as you go past them. And then when you finish, you run into that at the end, the gantry, skid on your knees and you just fucking run around like it's giving the finger to everybody and calling them all cunts. Maybe we should
Wow.
try that.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have got very far doing that on the weekend. I would have had to like wait for the next person and
Did
then just
nobody
go.
speak, but did nobody speak English either?
To be honest, I didn't see many people.
Did
Like
you not?
apart from the first couple of miles, no. No, because it just got so spread
Did they have
out.
checkpoints?
Yeah.
What was on the checkpoints for food?
Oh, before the race, I said to Robbie, what's going to be on the checkpoints? And he just goes, just stuff you don't fucking want. There'll be like
Spanner.
there'll be some bits of fruit, and then he goes, and some stuff that's so dry you want it, but you can't eat it. So I get to the checkpoint, and there's like bits of fruit. There's what I really wanted actually. There was bread with jam on it, and I really wanted that, but it was crawling with like flies. So I was just like,
Protein.
no. And then just like loads of crackers, and I was like, actually, I do fancy salty crackers. Put them in my mouth, and it's just like. Pfft. So yeah, Robbie was bang on with that. But no, there wasn't a lot of chat. There was one guy who came past me, and he just goes, English. And I went, yeah. And he goes, no sun. Thank you. And then the sun came out and it was like 30 degrees. I was like, you did that, you bastard. But no, it's
I'm
all
glad
quite
to see
friendly.
that's what the Italians think of us. No sun, thank you.
No. What he meant was it was really humid, but thankfully the sun wasn't out.
I know, but
And
that's, he
then
just thinks we live in a grey world, which we do.
I went to a checkpoint, and this man wants to test his English, and he goes, you want this, you want that, and then he goes, you want Macintosh? And I went, what do you mean? And he goes, Apple Macintosh. And he's like, do you want an apple? And I was just, no, that's strange.
Anything copy around his slang in Codgerese?
I just don't know.
Yeah, well, I'll have 2 dozen Macintoshes. What? It's Cockney rhyming slang for apples.
Yeah, apparently. But no, it was good. It was nice. Yeah, we've gone off topic again, haven't we? One thing I wanted to talk about. Oh, actually, here's a good example that I found this morning. Runner did a fight. You know, Runner the running. Oh, maybe I shouldn't say that. Anyway, a running app
We can
did.
do. We can. Do you want us to take that out? We probably won't. I'll tell Julius, but you probably won't. So let's call it Funner.
Yeah, a running app that's fun. Did a 5K, like a 5K race in New York. Everybody got PBs there.
Hang on a minute. What, a real live one
Yeah,
with actual
yeah,
people, right?
yeah. Everybody got PBs. Turns out it was 2.9 miles instead of 3.1 miles. So
That's
everybody
why
went.
then. That's a
Everyone went. Yeah,
success for everyone.
but is it like? Would you go and do like? It wouldn't happen with Parkrun, but if you did a 5K and you did a new 5K PB and then you uploaded it to Strava. And you realised it was short, would you still claim it as a PB?
No.
No, I wouldn't either, but I think a lot of people would.
Do you? Yeah, they would, wouldn't they? Oh, yeah, they would. I don't know. Would they? I wouldn't.
I've got particular people in mind.
Yeah,
No,
I
I don't.
have too. But do you know what? I had a message the other day from somebody who shall remain anonymous because I can't remember what their name is. Who said to me, just out of interest, when you're running with Pickle, do you pause? Should I run with my dog. She stops to sniff and poo and wee. Should I also pause my Garmin? And I went, for who? That was my
Exactly.
answer, was for who?
For
She's
the
like, that's a
dog.
really good question. And I think she wrote something like, or he wrote something like, or should I just call it like slow dog jog? I'm like, the reason you give a fuck is because of what other people think. And the reason you want to put that PB up there, saying it's a PB, is because of what other people think. That's it, isn't it? And when you think about it, it's fucking mad. Because I'm going to be honest with you, listener, there's not people that sit at home thinking about your Strava times or thinking about what sort of runner you are
No
or
one's looking at your
thinking,
splits.
my God, Louise is a f she's got fat thighs. She doesn't look like a runner. They don't sit on their sofas thinking that. They just
No,
don't.
no.
And the reason I know that is because I don't think that about anybody that I know. I just don't. I'm too wrapped up in my own fucking narcissistic self-hatred to be bothered to look at yours. So it's a honestly, it's all values based. We need to do our season on values.
Yeah, I totally agree with
Because
you.
it's like,
I totally
is
agree
that
with
in
you.
line with your fucking values?
Yeah.
Or are you going to argue, well, the course identified as a 5K course, so I'm going to say that it's 5K PB. It just was not a fucking 5K PB, was it? Like,
No.
it's the wrong length of
No. I
5K is
tell
their
you
length.
what, the only time people are going to look at your Strava and analyze all the data is if they think you're cheating. So
Is if they think they're onto you.
it's like, if you don't. Yeah, that's never going to happen unless you do something like quite dodgy. In which case, Ali and I are going to be looking at your cadence. We're
We
going to be looking at your
love looking at cadence and
heart
heart rate, especially. That's good. Heart rate's good.
rate.
Sometimes worries me how high people's heart rates go. It's mad. It's like they're a modern fucking science miracle. Yeah, the Strava is interesting, isn't it? Because I use Strava to record. I said this before, just to record, just to put on. I just put it on there so that I'm like, I know where I ran. If I'm planning, so for this Pennine Way job, I've been looking at the recce, how long they took. I've been reminding myself of the route and like, ah, we did stop there. Why did we stop there? Ah, because there's an honesty box there. That like it just, I can go back and basically formulate my plans for my own events. But also, if someone says, oh, have you ever been to Shitlington, an actual place on the Pennine Way? I can say, yes, I did a run there, and here's the route if you want to run in Shitlington. It was shit. So I don't look at it. I don't look at it. I've got no notifications on it. I don't look at other people's Stravas. I literally, it goes through Garmin Connect and uploads. The only thing I look at is my tool time, so I can send to Holly. That's it. But other people seem to live on Strava and use it as a social media network and actually really, really care. I'd
To
love to
be
speak to someone that really, really cares and work out
Yeah.
why it is that they care. Can you hear Pickle?
What's she
She's
doing?
going,
Is she crying
oh,
to try and you want to go ratting again?
mother, what? There is a tiny rat in the garden. I know. Just one? Yeah, there's never just one, though, is there? She really wants to have a go on it.
What another book I read actually, which is this might be too much to go into now, but maybe we could save it for the next episode. Oh, hi Gilbert. Gilbert's here.
Oh, it's because Gilbert's there. Happy birthday, Giblet.
Oh, he says thanks. So I read this other book by Angela Duckworth called Grit, and it's about like that kind of talent. How much If you're really good at something, how much of that are you born with? How much of it is genetic? How much of it is to do with your kind of upbringing or whatever? And how much of it is just hard work? And I really like it. It's a really, really interesting book. And like she says, talent counts, but effort counts twice.
Ooh.
So she's done like loads of research into like, skill and talent and stuff like that. And she's come up with a formula for it, and it's skill equals effort times talent. So you've got to have some talent in the first place, and you've probably got to have some talent to be interested in doing the thing and to keep doing it. But it's actually effort that matters as well. And then achievement, which is what we're talking about, equals effort times by skill. So what she's saying is that skill's created by applying effort to talent. So achievement's created by applying effort to that skill. So effort factors in twice. So basically the it's like, okay, there's talent's important to a degree, but actually effort, if you look at everybody who is really successful or really good at everything, it's mostly about effort, which I really like, because you can just be born with a skill. You can be born with some sort of talent, can't you? But that almost feels like you've got no agency over it, but it's effort we've all got agency over. We can all, we can all get a lot better at stuff. We can all,
That's very maths for me. I'm like that blows my math little maths mind, even though it's words, not numbers.
Yeah, or maybe we'll come back to it. But like, she talks a lot about, like, if you really, really want to get good at something, you've got to do like intentional practice, and like, you can't just kind of say, oh yeah, I'm really good at running. Like, some people are just good at running, aren't they? They'll just start running and then they'll go, oh yeah, I did that local 10K and I did it in
I
like 40
fucking had
minutes.
this mate when I worked in music called Ali Tam, right? Other Ali. He's actually the marketing manager for the Rolling Stones and Elbow now. He was my assistant at one point. He's done well. He was one of those
Successful.
people. He was a fucking pisshead like me. Like he was other Ali, and we used to go out and get absolutely shit faced. And he was the sort of bloke who could just go on Running London Marathon and would just run it and do like 3.5 hours without doing any training, and then would be really fucked, but would be like, he would just go and do that stuff. And I remember, like, even through my alcoholisms and that awful fucking time, there's a book, guys, it's called There Is No Walk Out Now. I really tried. I really tried. You know, I was at one point I was running 70 mile weeks because I was really trying, and he didn't have to fucking try, and it pissed me off. So it pissed me off so much I couldn't be happy for him, which is terrible, isn't it? But I could never celebrate his wins because I was like, you don't even have to fucking try. Also, I've come up with a thing, an equation for influencers.
Got them.
Influencer equals delusion times ego plus money. I can work on that. What I think. Anyway, what were we saying about the success thing?
No, I think I was done.
Okay. Do you want a question?
Go on then.
I've just got to get into my thing. Hey, I've got some Kevin Munt news.
Oh, is he? Is
Yep, he's
it
124.
Once again, apologies to Kevin Munt.
Kevin Munt broke the record for the 65 plus backyard ultra the other day.
Oh, he's
30
such a dude.
yards. He started on 31 and then he came back because he couldn't be arsed, which is fair
I
enough.
couldn't be asked.
Couldn't be arsed. But yeah, that's good, isn't it?
That's really good. He's amazing. He's what we should all aspire to.
Oh my God, should we get him on for the end? Because he's a success.
He is a real
I think
success, yeah.
running at that level at that age
Longevity,
is a fucking success.
consistency, authenticity.
Niceness.
He ticks all the boxes for me.
He's a fucking nice man. Okay, questions. Pickle is really wants to go out for that rat. She's really having a little rat attack. Okay, here's an interesting one. This is not aimed, don't get upset with me. It's literally the first one that I've picked. How does success or your measure of success change as you get older? I
Oh
could have
no,
asked the old man Hall this, but I decided to ask you.
that's all right. I'm happy with that.
Great. That's from Fee Lynch 10. Flinch 10. Flinch 10.
I mean, it definitely has. It definitely has changed as I've got older. I guess your expectation changes. And like your level of gratitude
For some
changes.
people, their expectation changes, but for others, it doesn't.
It must do for everybody.
Should expectation be? No, it doesn't. Because honestly, you meet people who think they're better than they are.
Yeah, that's true.
And like, I
So
get them, I get athletes. The classic is post spine, February. Fucking hell. It's fucking big money time for the coaches, where you get these always men, always in their 40s or 50s. Oh, I've watched that spine race, and I thought, yeah, I could fucking do that. Well, right, cool. Okay. Oh, could you coach me for it? Sure. What have you done before? I did Race to the Stones back in 2006. Then I ran the Leeds Half Marathon in 2008. Put on a bit of weight since then. Yeah, I've got a desk job, but you know, I do park run once a month, and I'm just thinking, yeah, I'll give that a go. And you're like, are you
Seems
fucking
legit.
real?
Yeah,
Yeah,
that's like.
I think for some people, expectation should be included in that matrix of the skill, effort, talent. Expectation has to be in there, or managing it.
And self-awareness. That I
Yeah.
think that's got a big part to play here, hasn't it? It's like you're never going to feel successful if you're not self-aware enough to say, like, I wasn't self-aware enough to say on Sunday, I will be at the back of that, because I should be at the back of that given my level of skill and, fitness and specificity. But yeah, so maybe self-awareness is something we should talk about more, because I
Do you
think we'd
think,
enjoy that.
yeah, do you think self-awareness is a very personal thing, or do you think there is a way of saying, you know, when you're old, as you get older, your self-awareness? I think self-awareness comes with experience,
Yeah, I agree.
but
I agree.
acceptance of your experience rather than blaming your failures on lots of other things. Because so
Yeah.
many people blame their lack of progress on outside factors, when actually the only
Yeah.
thing that is stopping you from progressing is you.
Yeah. But I think there probably is some external forces at work in terms of if you haven't got somebody in your life who's just telling you that actually, no, that's too hard for you, or you should be at the back of that, or whatever. Robbie said to me, you're in the bottom 10% of that race, which is probably where you should be. And that kind of helped me put it in perspective. But then other people have only got people in their lives who just go, oh my God, that's amazing, you're amazing, oh, that's so amazing. Or they're looking at other people on Instagram going, believe, achieve. If you do that, you can pay me for coaching. Anybody can do this. So maybe there are some external factors there, and it's just like society.
Do you remember on X Factor when people come in and there would be that music, the piano music, and there would be like there'd be the backstory, and there'd be the mum, oh, I've always been so proud of her from the first moment she opened her mouth, we just knew she had the talent. Oh my God, she's just amazing. She's so beautiful. She was about 3 years old when she first started singing. It goes on and on. Ant and Dec have got their heads cocked to one side. Then she goes on stage and it sounds like a fucking mangled cat. And everybody's like sniggering, like laughing behind their hands, and like Simon Cowell's like, look, right? That comes from a place of love. That parental, like, you're amazing, comes from a place of love. And that it can work two ways, because you can say you're amazing and you can encourage that person, or you can say you're amazing and you can create a deluded fool. I don't know where the line is. What, like, do you think that that can change with age? Do you think you can become more self-aware, or do you think it's inbuilt from as you grow up?
Yeah, good question. I don't know. I think you can, but I think it depends on you wanting to sort of learn. So if you're kind of committed to learning more about yourself and developing as a human being, let alone as a runner, then maybe you are a bit more open to it. And it's difficult, isn't it? Because everyone's—I can't remember who I was talking to about this recently. Everyone is different with feedback, aren't they? You feed, like, you must find it with coaches, and I find it with authors. Like, some people you can just be like super blunt with, like probably John Barton. You can just say, "Don't do that, you idiot." But
There he
then
is
other.
again. Mention number two. I think who was the person we used to mention in podcasts all the time? I can't remember.
Kevin
Paul
Martin used to
Albin.
miss aging. Oh yeah,
Miss
Paul
that,
Albin.
yeah. But now it's John Barton gets his little meth thingy mentioned. Yeah, go
But
on.
yeah, other people are much more sensitive, and you need to tread a bit more softly, softly. But you can still get your point across, but you have to do it a different way, don't you? Everyone wants feedback differently and accepts feedback differently. But I think that maybe changes with age. But I think with me, it is more like when I was younger, I wanted to do everything. I didn't have as much quality control, so maybe didn't get as much kind of. I didn't feel as much achievement, or didn't feel that this was a success, because it was just like, well, do this race, go on to the next thing. And then I do remember at one point thinking I can do quite well in small local races where nobody else goes, and like cleaning up in like Tesco's vouchers, or like £20 Runners Need vouchers or
She's
whatever.
come first again at the Grisdale Grizzly 10K. Brilliant. She's come first again at the Bakewell Apple Tart 5K.
Doing the mathematics, but yeah, definitely as I've got older, it's become more about I want to do a bigger event and plan for it, and it be really special, and it be something that really, really means something to me. That's definitely changed. But I think you just have to accept it. Like, you just have to accept that. Like, I mean, maybe not everyone does, but I've accepted I'm probably never going to beat my marathon PB, say, or half marathon PB or whatever, and actually I don't really care about those things anymore. But yeah, as I always say, like, what I care about is having big adventures, and being able to do them, and that just feels like such a privilege as you get older, and you just don't take it for granted as much
No,
anymore.
I totally agree with you. And like when I was younger, when I was first started doing ultras, my thing was do as many as possible. I just want to get, I was like, I want to do as many of these as possible. Remember, the underlying current here was I was trying to prove I wasn't an alcoholic, and I was trying to prove I was okay, and I was also trying to run away from these intense feelings of self-hatred, because when you're running, you just can numb yourself to it, especially when you're half cut. So that was like, do as many as you can. And I was like, and I'm going to get better at doing this through doing as much of it as possible. And I've always been a as much of it as possible person. When I was little, my mum used to tell me off for using half of the conditioner on my hair. You know, she's like, a little bit of conditioner is enough. I'm like, no, it's not. Use the whole tub. Can't have one rose, I could never have one rose, right? So, yeah, I was like, but now, and this is an age thing, but also an experience thing, it's about the problem solving. And I have got no problem with getting things wrong at all. I'm not scared of failing, in inverted commas. I think the word failing has got a really bad rep, and I like the word failing, and I wouldn't mind having that word tattooed on me. I've got enough fucking other words tattooed on me. But failing is a joy because you get to solve a problem. If something doesn't go the way you want it to, you then get to solve a problem. So you get to engage your brain, use your experience, and solve a problem, and then learn for next time, which is amazing. And you can't buy that. You can't fake it. You can't do a course on it. And that for me contains the whole success of the thing. Like, all the success is built around how many problems can you solve? How well can you do this thing within the boundaries of what you can control? So, you know, I can't control suddenly shitting through the eye of a needle. Well, I can because I can not run too fast. I can make sure I eat properly. But even if that does happen, okay, cool, here's a problem. Let's solve it on this big adventure that we call fucking life, because that is what it is. Like, nothing, people, no one has a life where everything is charmed. No one does, even if they say they do. It's all about solving those problems. And so, yeah, I think mine has changed from being win or come or the best time compared to everybody else who's in the races times, because like, you can only have a good time if everybody else's races times in the races are what you can only compare your times to whatever everybody else in the race has done, right? So it used to be time, positioning, and rep. Like, you know, oh, Ali's like, she comes and she does loads of ultras. So because I wasn't very good at them, I'd just do loads and loads of them. And then I thought people would think I was a badass. Now it's, I don't give a shit what other people think. I have no interest in what other people think. All I want to do is be able to learn and solve problems and have a great adventure while I'm doing it. And I think strip everything back to basics, like not have the phone, not have the emails, not have the have to do stuff on. Even when I'm running, even when I'm racing, I will make little videos, but I won't put them on Instagram until the 2 days later, because I don't want to be in that world. I just want to be in my own world. And I make those videos because I want other people to see what it's really fucking like, and to kick those fucking influencers who talk shit in the balls. So, you know, I think in answer to that question, yeah, it does change, but it only changes if you can have acceptance for reality and your own abilities. And you can have like gratitude for what you do, because it's, we do say this every time, it's a hobby.
Yeah, exactly.
I
It
don't get
should be
paid for it.
fun.
Do you get paid for it?
No.
Do you have a running appraisal? You do. You have Robbie. I said, do you have a running appraisal every year? Yeah, you do.
The two thoughts on that. Firstly, the whole failure thing. Like, you can't have success without failure. You have
It's
to
not
go
possible.
through loads and loads and loads. And isn't it a bigger success when you've been through loads and loads and loads and loads of failures?
Yeah.
And then eventually, it's like Sabrina Virgie doing the Wainwrights, you know, she did it like three times. This blows my mind. Three times and failed in different ways in order to achieve it. And that's like, there isn't a bigger running challenge. Well, there is, there's the Munros, but there isn't a
There's
bigger
a,
running
yeah, but
challenge,
it's things
really.
like the Barclay. People go back to the Barclay time after time after time. Even though there's no rules, it's different every time, and it's
And you
really
learn a
fucking
little
hard.
bit. You fail and you learn, you fail and you learn, you fail and you learn. And I think we forget that now, don't we? Because society's so like instant gratification. And the other thing I was going to say, which maybe is one for the next one, is in the sort of society we live in, success is so like you know, like it's like a sort of relentless, isn't it? It's like productivity, wealth, action, doing, 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 achieving, 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 that we almost forget actually what's important in that. That, you know, we're kind of being told like you've got to be badass, you've got to do this, you've got to do this, you've got to do this. And we're burning out. We're just burning out. So yeah, for
And
me
we're
it's
not
better
fucking
to
enjoying it. It's like we're in a pantomime.
It's like you're on a treadmill, isn't it, of achieving.
And you don't need to do that. Like, you'll get a better result. That book, The Inner Game of Tennis, there's another book called Peak Performance by Brad Stolberg and Steve Magnus, which is very similar, which talks about, you know, just if you get a your outcome will be more palatable to you if you fucking work for it properly. And then and that is
Yeah.
enjoying every minute of it, because none of us are elite full-time athletes. I don't think
No.
that Kipchoge listens to this podcast. So
No.
like, and even if you are, you and even you know, you bought me a really good book recently, a Ted Lasso book, the Ted Lasso, this philosophy of Ted Lasso, right? It's fucking brilliant. I love that book. And that book talks a lot about what they use in the show. They use performance approach in the show to be like, if you're having a good time, you will perform better. You
Yeah.
always fucking will. It's like watching a band that fucking hate each other. If you watch a band that hate each other, Kings of Leon, Madness, their performances are always shit, allegedly. If you watch a band that genuinely like each other, the performance is always amazing. So yeah, it's interesting. I hope I don't get sued by Madness.
I think that's the least of your worries.
Yeah, me too.
Can I give you a good quote from Maya Angelou?
Yeah.
Success is liking yourself, liking what you do, and liking how you do it.
In that case, I've got some work to do.
Drop the
I've got a bit of work to do.
It's good though, isn't it? It's
Yeah, it's
good
great.
because I think well, we've been talking, everything we've been talking about today is about you've got to find your own measure of success and something that makes you happy. And go after that, because I think we're all guilty of going after other people's measures of success, aren't we?
A billion trillion percent. A billion percent. And
Yeah.
it's really hard not to.
And
And that.
it doesn't matter what it is. So like one thing I want to get better at is resting. Like I'm not
Oh,
very
yeah.
good at resting and being quiet, and I do four jobs at the moment, so I've got like no, like very little time. But and when I do have time to rest, I'm just not very good at it because I'm just so, So yeah, it's like it doesn't have to be do
You
really well
don't
at the race or whatever.
do hot holidays, do you? You don't do just laying down holidays.
No. But what anyway, the point is it doesn't have to be win a race. It doesn't have to be finish a race in a time. It can be rest better. It can be success in your strength training. It can be success in your we're talking about running, like go and volunteer, be a fucking good person to other people like Richard Stillion. Be a supportive friend. Be it's, that success can be directed outwards as well as directed inwards, can't it?
Yeah.
There's lots of things that will bring you happiness and joy, and you can be successful at them and achieve.
I think that's a fucking good question for the listener. Is this bringing you joy? Is what you're doing bringing you joy? And if it's not, why is it not? And write down all of it. I've had such a massive, not a massive go, but I've had a bit of a go at some of my athletes because I keep saying to them, you need to write down all your thoughts you have about this. If you don't write them down, then you're not going to get anywhere with them. You can't just let them meander around your head like a fucking goldfish bowl. You've got to write them down so you can see how ridiculous they are. And you can see how helpful and non-helpful they are. And I think with success, if people are listening to this and they want to do more work on it, write down what you actually think success is, not what you want us to think that you think. So don't give me that fucking bullshit of, oh, it's about gratitude, enjoying myself on the hill. What do you actually fucking think? Because I'm telling
Yeah.
you this for nothing. I've got this big race next week on Saturday, on Monday, and I have worked my tits off. And a success for me is my measure of success is a consistent pace, eating properly, sleep 2, 3 hours sleeps. And running across the Cheviots at the end. If I can run across the Cheviots and not death march across the Cheviots, that is a massive success for me. I'll be thrilled. That's it. And that's genuinely all I want. Anything that happens after that, before that, round that, is a fucking bonus. But that is my measure of success. Can I maintain my body to the point where 130 miles in, I can run across the fucking Cheviots? It takes a lot of honesty to be like, what do I actually think about it? And don't do it on the measure of what you want people to think. So if you want people to think you're sorted or you're fucking, you're zen about it, you're not being honest. If you want to win a race, say you want to win a race. I want to do well in that race. I would love to come top 10 in that race, right? But that's, that I don't know who else is doing it. That's not my A goal. My A goal is to run across the Cheviots. I've been really, really honest about it. And if I thought that I was going to fuck it, if I wanted to win it, I'd say, but I don't. I just want to run across the Cheviots. I just
And the
want to feel
thing is,
strong.
if you do all those things and achieve all those things, all those goals, you will come high up in the race. That's how it works.
I might not, but I don't really give a fuck. I just want to be doing that thing. And if I can't do that thing, Doesn't mean it's a massive failure. It means there's lessons to take away from that for the next time,
Yeah,
which is a which
yeah.
is a absolutely. It's, we should be grateful that we have the ability to learn those lessons, and it's not the
That
only chance we'll ever get.
that is the one certainty in long ultra running, is
Oh yeah.
that not everything will go to plan
Oh
and you
no.
will learn some stuff.
There will be some lessons.
Yeah.
Okay, I love you. Thank you for coming on, and I will speak to you in a couple of
Yeah,
weeks.
good luck. Good luck at the Spine Challenge North. We'll all
We're
be
going to
watching and
record the next podcast directly after that race, so literally an hours after I finish, I think. So it's going to be
high
probably
quality.
high quality podcasting. I might be some crying, and I might not have my dog barking again. Okay, I'll speak to you next week. I love you. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Thank you for listening to the Running Won't Save You podcast. If you have got 2 seconds, or maybe a bit longer, maybe a minute, can you head over to Apple or Spotify and give us 5 stars, please? We don't want to hear all the things you don't like about the pod, just the good stuff. We'd also encourage you, while you're on the internet, to go and check out Reaction Collective. Reaction Collective are a collective of wonderful human beings who are striving to make things a little bit better environmentally for everybody. They fix everything from tents to t-shirts, and they have an amazing collective. So go to have a look at Reaction Collective, Google it, you'll find it. Pre-Love Sports. We also support them. Pre-Love Sports sell secondhand kit, and they collect good quality secondhand kit to sell on as well, which encourages the circular economy of running. Into Ultra are an amazing charity who help people getting into the sport, because it is very expensive, as we all know. So they're a great company to be part of, great charity to get involved with. Just Google Into Ultra to see how you can help. And finally, our favourites, the Green Runners. If you're not a member of the Green Runners, then why the hell aren't you? It's easy to pledge. It's only £2.50 a year, and you can wear the same badge as Jasmine Paris, so a bit of virtue signalling. Thanks to all of our friends, and thanks to you, the listener. We will see you next week.